We read God's holy word this morning, once again in Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, the first 13 verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? There ends our reading of the Word of God this morning. May the Lord bless our reading of the sacred Scripture. The passage that we've read bears on the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 45, questions and answers 118 and 119. What hath God commanded us to ask of him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. What are the words of that prayer? And then follows the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, very briefly, we come before thy throne of grace as we prepare to receive thy word. Give us good understanding with our minds. Open our hearts so that we may believe thy word. And then by the power of thy grace, use the preaching of thy word so that in the week that is before us, we walk in the light of that word. Pardon graciously our sins and hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Among all that the Reformation recovered and restored to the Church of Jesus Christ was prayer. The doctrine of prayer, and the practice of prayer that had become thoroughly corrupted by that day. The Roman Catholic Church taught the meritorious value of prayer, both for oneself and for one's loved ones who are departed and in purgatory. Rome taught the value of prayers for the dead, especially for the benefit of the release of souls suffering in purgatory. Just as it took the Bible away from the common people, so did the Roman Catholic Church take the duty of prayer away from the common people. In natural life, it was argued, the civilian population did not fight, but that was the duty particularly of a class of professionals, lords and knights. So also, it argued, in spiritual life, the ordinary members of the church were not instructed in the duty of prayer, because this was primarily not their calling, but this was the calling rather of the professional, trained, spiritual warriors, the monks and the priests and the clergy. Prayers were offered up to the saints, especially to the Virgin Mary. Recall that when Martin Luther was struck to the ground in that thunderstorm in which he vowed to become a monk, that he prayed and made his vow to Saint Anne, supposed to be the mother of the Virgin Mary, and who was the patron saint of minors, Luther's father being a copper miner. So he prayed to Saint Anne. Prayers were made on behalf of the clergy in a language that the ordinary people could not even understand. Imagine coming to the public worship services of the church this morning and not understanding one word of any of the prayers that are offered up as a part of our, an important part of our public worship. The prayers were made in Latin, and that language only the scholars and the clergy could understand. What prayers the people did make and were taught to make were rote prayers. They prayed these prayers, these short prayers, from memory, quickly and mindlessly repeating them. Something like our younger children praying before and after meals so quickly that you wonder what exactly they said. Well, something like that was taking place on the part of adults in the Roman Catholic Church at the time of the Reformation. Chief among the prayers that were memorized and repeated was the Rosary. The Rosary consisted of a number of Hail Marys, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the words of the Trinitarian doxology, Glory be to the Father. So as not to lose your place in the order in which these were prayed, and especially the number of Hail Marys that were interspersed between all the other prayers, rosary beads were made so that you could keep track of where you were. another of the trinkets, along with the crucifix that were sold and brought money into the coffers of the Roman Catholic Church. Over against Rome's abuse of prayer, the reformers reacted. They restored prayer to its rightful place in the church and in the life of the ordinary believer. They called upon fathers to take the lead in their families as the heads of their homes, praying with and on behalf of their families. They taught that rather than to merit, prayer was chiefly the expression of the Christian's thankfulness to God, not then to earn salvation, but gratitude for salvation already experienced. The Reformed teaching concerning prayer is incorporated in the Heidelberg Catechism. It is also included in the Westminster Standards. The Westminster Confession of Faith and its two catechisms, the larger and the shorter catechism. This morning, I want to quote three questions and answers out of the Westminster larger catechism. Whereas the Heidelberg Catechism does not have a separate question and answer asking what prayer is, the Westminster Larger Catechism does. Question and answer 178. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of His Spirit with confession of our sins and thankfulness, acknowledging His mercies. Question and answer 185 asks, how are we to pray? And the answer is, we are to pray with an awful apprehension of the majesty of God and deep sense of our own unworthiness, necessities, and sins, with penitent, thankful, and enlarged hearts, with understanding, faith, sincerity, fervency, love, and perseverance, waiting upon Him with humble submission to His will. And question and answer 187. How is the Lord's Prayer to be used? The Lord's Prayer is not only for direction as a pattern according to which we are to make our prayers, but may also be used as a prayer so that it be done with understanding, faith, reverence, and other graces necessary to the right performance of the duty of prayer. This morning, we are once again in the school of prayer. And again, we consider for what we are to pray. Two things then, that which encompasses our needs and that which the model prayer summarizes for us. In our prayers, we are to limit ourselves to our needs. Our prayers are to encompass our needs. That's the 118th question and answer. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for soul and body. Our needs, our prayers are to be strictly limited to those things that we understand to be our needs. Our needs for the body, our needs for the soul. Our needs concern the two aspects of our existence. We are earthly creatures. We have bodies. We have physical needs. But in addition, there is also a spiritual dimension to our existence. We have not only bodies like the animals, but we also have a soul. We stand not only in relationship to this earth, nor only in relationship to each other, but we stand in relationship to God, Himself. We are more than rocks and trees. We are more than cows and cats. We are men, human beings, body and soul, able to stand in a relationship to God, a conscious relationship to God. Rocks and trees can't pray. Cows and cats can't pray. We can, and we ought, and we must. But when we pray, we must limit our prayers to our needs. Clearly, the focus of question and answer 118, and what will continue to be the focus of the Heidelberg Catechism in the question and answers that follow, is on prayer as petition. Petition. If we are to pray for our needs, and we are to pray to God for our needs, what we must bring to God in prayer is our petitions. That's what a petition is. A petition is a request for something. In this case, a request made to God. And in this case, a request made to God concerning our needs, those things that we know that we have need of. A petition is an entreaty. It's an urgent request. When a child asks his mother for something to eat because he is hungry, he is making a petition to his mother, a request for something that he thinks he has need of. When a child asks her father to use the family car in order to get to work, she is making a petition, a request to her father, because she needs transportation to get to work. So also with the child of God in prayer, we petition God. Now, we have already learned in the school of prayer that petition is not the only purpose of prayer. Prayer isn't limited to petitions. In fact, that's not the most important part of prayer. The most important part of prayer, and that which ought to occupy a corresponding importance in our prayers, is thankfulness. That in our prayers, we express our thankfulness to God. And again, thankfulness to God for all those things that concern our body that He has provided us with in His care of us in our life on this earth. And then also what He has provided for us as regards the needs of our soul. The forgiveness of our sins. The assurance that He is our God and that we are His people. Nevertheless, petition does belong as a purpose of prayer. Not the only purpose, not even the most important purpose, but it is a purpose. And it is that according to the will of God. Jesus, in giving us the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, makes plain that we are to pray to God for our needs. And that becomes plain in what Jesus says after the Lord's Prayer. When a friend goes to another friend because he has a need, someone has shown up at his door to whom he ought to be hospitable. That person has been in a journey and is tired and is hungry, and he has nothing to set before him. A need. And in that other instance of the son or the child who asks of his father a fish, an egg, he's asking for that child is a need. And that need, of course, is for something to eat because the child is hungry. God's prophets in the Old Testament, Christ and His apostles in the New Testament, made frequent use of prayer as petition. Think of Moses' prayer to God at Mount Sinai after he had smashed the first tablets of the law that God had given to him because he found the children of Israel worshiping that golden calf. The prayer to God interceding on behalf of the children of Israel, petitioning God that He would not utterly destroy the nation as they deserved. Think of the prayer of the Apostle Paul that's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. His prayer concerning that thorn in the flesh. He had a need, and his felt need was deliverance from the pain of that thorn. God heard his prayer in a way in which the apostle did not think that God was going to answer his prayer. But when he brought his prayer to God, he was petitioning God. And the Psalms are full of examples of prayers as petitions. that's illustrated in Psalter number 235 that we sang this morning in response to the law of God. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. As petition, prayer is the means by which we make known to God what we have need of. Not as though we are informing God, but beseeching God. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why, according to the will of God, our prayers are occupied to a large extent with petitions, asking God for all the things that we need for our lives in this world. Why? Why is that the will of God? Why doesn't God simply give us what we have need of, since He knows our needs? Why doesn't He drop down from heaven the bread that we have? Why would He have us pray for the satisfaction of our needs? Why, in distinction from the ungodly who go to the same grocery store and buy for the same price the loaf of bread and everything else that they need without uttering a petition to God? Why? One of the answers, there's another answer that we'll give down the road a ways, but already now, this part of the answer, that God would have us live in dependence upon Him. Why pray? Why daily petition God for those things that we need, so that it lives in our minds that we have these needs, and that the only one who can satisfy these needs is God? So by prayer to God, we live in the consciousness that we receive our life from God. Though we pray for our needs, we must never suppose that our prayers have as their purpose informing God. Prayer is not a news bulletin from earth to heaven. Not that. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 4, there is not a word in our lips, that's prayer, but lo, Thou, O Lord, knowest it altogether. He knows our needs. He knows our needs far better than we know our needs. He knows the needs that I have personally, the struggles that I'm going through. He knows the needs of my family, the difficulties that my family is facing. He knows the needs of our congregation. He knows the struggles. We go to Him for our needs, not in order to inform Him, but because we depend upon Him. He is the sovereign God who supplies our needs. That we are to pray for our needs teaches us that we are not to pray for anything and everything that enters into our minds. Need, not want. This is an important part of the instruction that parents must give their children in prayer, that our Christian school teachers must give to our children in the classroom. Need, not want. The Pentecostals teach that we may pray for anything and everything, so long as we pray in faith. Name it and claim it is their slogan. You may pray for anything under the sun, so long as you pray in faith. This is contrary to the will of God. God may indeed give us more than we need. That's His prerogative as God. But what we must pray for is limited to our needs. The teaching of the parable that Jesus tells His disciples makes that very plain, as well as the further instruction of Jesus in verses 11 and 10. What our needs are for which we are to pray, the Lord teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. We are to pray first for God's glory. That's our need, first of all. That's the thing, more than anything else, that we have need of. Ourselves, the grace to hallow and glorify the name of God. The glory of His name in the coming of His kingdom and in the doing of His will. We are to pray, secondly, for our earthly, our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And very strikingly, again, we'll come back to that down the road, that petition precedes the petitions for our spiritual needs. Why first? Why does daily bread come before the forgiveness of our sins and deliverance from the power of evil? We should note that in the order of importance in the prayer, those things that concern God and the glory of God are first, always first. They are mentioned first, too, in that answer, the 118th answer. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for what comes next? Soul, and then body. Soul, that's first. And that underscores my question for you to consider. Why daily bread before then forgiveness of sins? Whatever the case may be, the Lord teaches us in the model prayer that our spiritual needs are chief. Of all the petitions, one that concerns daily bread. That's also Jesus' instruction in Luke 11. That's verse 13. Verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, that section ends surprisingly, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? Give those things to you that are necessary for your earthly life? No. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we're taught that our prayers ought to be spiritual prayers. And that's not the case. And so many of the prayers that I hear, I don't hear that many, but outside of our churches, on the radio, sometimes before basketball games, it's all give, just give us, just give us. And there's very little, if anything, in the prayer that concerns that which is spiritual. The forgiveness of our sin, where is that petition? It's disappeared today. Or sanctification, deliverance from the power of evil. This takes grace, abundant grace, both to know your needs and to pray for your needs. The content of our prayers, including our needs, are summarized in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. That's question and answer 118, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us, and then follows the wording of the Lord's Prayer in question and answer 119. First, we should note that this prayer, though it is called the Lord's Prayer, now I underscore something that I mentioned last week, is not a prayer that Jesus Himself prayed, at least certainly not the petition for the forgiveness of sins and the plea for sanctification. But it is the Lord's Prayer because this is the prayer He has taught us. Scripture does contain many different prayers by our Lord. If there is a prayer that ought to be referred to as the Lord's Prayer, it's His high priestly prayer, prayed just before He went to the cross. But there are many other prayers of Jesus in the gospel accounts. Just before He performed that miracle of feeding the 5,000 with the fish and loaves, we read that He lifted up His head and gave thanks. That's prayer. One time He prayed, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Recall that to Simon Peter He said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Before the raising of Lazarus, He prayed to God. After being nailed to the cross, His first words were the prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This prayer we usually refer to as the Lord's Prayer. It has other names in other languages. Among the Roman Catholics, beginning back in the Middle Ages already, it was referred to as the Paternoster, because those are the first two Latin words in the prayer, and that was the language of the Roman Catholic Church. Our Father, the Paternoster. In some languages, the prayer is simply referred to as Our Father. That's the case in the Dutch language, Unser Vater. That's the case in the German language, Unser Vater. Some refer to this prayer as the disciples' prayer or as the prayer of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, since Jesus gives it in Matthew in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. What ought to strike us is that the prayer is simple and it is complete. 20 to 30 seconds to pray. Our children, some of the youngest children in church this morning, know the words of the Lord's Prayer. And yet, the simplicity of the prayer, in a way, camouflages its depth, its fullness, its completeness. But at the same time, the completeness is reflected in the prayer as regards God. That is, the prayer is complete in respect to God. It includes praise of God. It includes confession before God. And it includes petition from God. It is, therefore, this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, also the perfect prayer. We should note that Jesus' purpose in praying the prayer was to give it as a model, not to be the prayer that the disciples always used word for word. That's brought out in the fact that the prayer is different in form in Matthew and in Luke. In the account in Luke that we have read the last 2 weeks, the concluding doxology is omitted. That's included in Matthew. But there are some other differences as well. Note carefully the request of the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Their request to Jesus was not, Lord, teach us a prayer. That was not their request. A prayer that they could memorize and use all the time. No, teach us to pray. The principles of prayer. How to pray. And that's all reflected in the model prayer. It's striking that throughout the model prayer, the plural pronouns are used. That is very striking. Not I, me, and my, but us and our. And the prayer starts out that way. Our Father, give us this day our, not me, my daily bread, us and our. Forgive us our debts as we forgive one another. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? The plural. Because when we pray with and we pray on behalf of the people of God. With them, we bring ourselves into the presence of God and kneel together before the throne of God's grace. Us and our. That means no division, no schism, no hatred, No envy. No jealousy. It means that in our marriages. That's why husband and wife ought to end the day praying. Because if you have to come together at the end of the day to pray, then you had better make up for whatever sins you have committed against each other in the course of the day. What an incentive to us in our marriages not to let the sun go down upon our anger, because at the end of the day, we need to pray together. One very important feature of the Lord's Prayer is that it unfolds our relationship to God. We learn to pray to the God who is our God. Our Father. That means we are His children, His dear covenant children. Hallowed be thy name. That means that God is God. And the most important thing in our lives is the glory of His name. Thy kingdom come. That means that God is sovereign Lord over all. We are His servants. Thy will be done. He's the master. We are His slaves. He is Lord. We do His bidding. Give us this day our daily bread. That means that as earthly creatures, we look to Him and are completely dependent upon Him. Forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, that means that consciously we come into His presence, pleading, our Savior, seeking the forgiveness of our sins in His blood and in His cross. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thou art the holy God who not only demands holiness of us, but by His grace and Holy Spirit works that holiness in us, sanctifying us. As redeemed Christians, we ought to pray. In our prayers, we ought to pray for those things that we have need of, both for body and for soul. When we pray, our prayers ought to be modeled after the perfect prayer that our Lord has taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Then we may pray with the confidence that God, for Christ's sake, His blood, His cross, will hear us. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hear and answer our prayers. Thou knowest our need better than we ourselves. We cast ourselves upon Thee in that respect. Satisfy our needs. Fill us with Thy fullness. Forgive our sins. Sanctify us. And assure us that for Jesus' sake, Thou wilt hear our prayers. Amen.